The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to get passionate about sports talk. This is Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. These two talk with the experts and are the experts when it comes to what's hot, what's next, and what will be in the sports world. Let's get this show on the road. Here's Luther and Micah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're getting a little bit of a late start. Welcome to another episode of Cheap Shots, a very special episode. I'm Micah Warren along with Luther Broughton. Having some technical issues, so if something doesn't sound right, I don't think we're aware of it, but
yeah,
we'll do our best, Luther.
Dude, we're cutting it really close. I had to change my Skype password and reboot right, like literally 2 minutes before we started. Yeah. Wouldn't accept my password. I was getting a little annoyed. So,
you know, it felt like to me, because I was waiting for you to get back on the Skype, it was like the end of the Back to the Future, where, oh my God, is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? Anyway, busy day in the NFL today, Luther. Oh, also, we should hype our guests. We got Troy Vincent coming on tonight.
Yeah.
VP, Executive Vice President of the NFL. He's big time these days. He was big time as an NFL player, and he's even bigger time now.
Yeah, that's a pretty damn big guess we got there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good job, Luther. But obviously, we want to get to some things. What's that?
Thank you for it. I was going to thank you for it, but I'll
give
take
me,
it.
Okay, give me the credit for it.
Sure.
I know you got some thoughts on this Adrian Peterson suspension. Now, in case you're living under a rock, they basically sent him home without pay for the rest of the year and said, I won't even revisit this until April 2015. So you are banished from the game until April 2015.
That's some of the horseshit. I'm sorry.
Stop, kids.
I ain't no kids listening right now. Here's the problem I have with this. I'm not condoning what he did. I'm not condoning what he did. But he beat his kids too hard. He beat his kids too hard, Micah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to get suspended until April 2015 because he beat his kids too hard. I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I'm just giving him a pass. The arbitrary suspensions are killing me, Micah.
Well, that's the argument.
You have one guy doling out suspensions, and he pulls it out of his ass. There are no set guides to what you get suspended for. Guess what happens in a basketball game if you get six fouls in the NBA?
Yeah.
You can't play anymore. What happens in college if you get five fouls in a game? You're out. You can't play anymore. So you can't have one game where you get like four fouls and they say, okay, I'm sick of you. You can't play anymore. Or you get one foul, but you don't get a foul until late in the game, and they go, oops, that's it, you fouled out. That's what Goodell's suspensions are like now. He's just suspending willy-nilly, and guess what? Guess what the great thing about it is? You can appeal.
Now, who guess do you appeal
what
to,
the
Luther?
Thing about the appeal is? You're appealing to Roger Goodell. Here's what that's like, and I'm making this story up, guess. This didn't happen. So let's say Micah gets this text message from, let's call her Cindy. Cindy is a girl that Micah knew from college who was really into him, and it never happened, but Cindy wanted it to happen forever and ever. Micah meets Lindsay, gets married, lives happily ever after. So Cindy decides to find Micah and send him a bunch of Facebook messages, inappropriate. Micah ignores them. Lindsay sees the messages. She lights into you because you didn't nip this in the bud, because you didn't tell Cindy that these are inappropriate. You thought the appropriate thing to do was ignore her. Maybe she'll go away. I'm freaking married, Cindy. Leave me alone. So guess what happens? Lindsay lights into you for like 2 hours. You have this fight. There's no winning. She's a woman. They win the fights all the time. So You go to sleep tonight with Lindsay. You wake up in the morning. Guess what happens? You want to appeal this decision, right?
Right.
You want to make this better. You don't get to bring in her mom, her dad, and some unbiased people and give them the story. And most of them would say, well, I don't know if Micah did anything really that wrong. You should give him a pass on this. He ignored the psycho.
Right.
No, you don't appeal to other people. You appeal to the person who's ready to rip your head off. Right. Lindsay, you wake up in the morning and guess what happens? It's the same thing. It's too soon. She still wants to rip your head off for not ignoring Cindy.
And your
this
point
is what's
obviously
happening
is,
in the NFL. You go straight to your angry wife and ask her for forgiveness.
The punishment I just decided that you got, the punishment I just decided you can ask me to change my mind. And what, you know what blows my mind more than that, Luther, is sometimes he does. What did you see this time? When he shortened Big Ben from what, 5 games to 4 games or whatever?
Like,
what did you not know?
What happened? What happened in the meantime? Did you like, oh, yeah, were you having a good drink at the time when Big Ben called? Big Ben called him and he had a nice bottle of aged freaking wine. And it was really good. And he said, screw it. You can play in 2 weeks. We're good. I'm hammered right now. Let it go.
That's the only way that makes sense.
Why did he decide this time after sitting Adrian Peterson out with a paid suspension – and then decide, like, he's coming back. Why? Because he's mad. He's mad because Peterson didn't want to take the meeting, a meeting that supposedly is not collectively bargained. Apparently there was some gray area there. So he gets pissed and said, fuck it, I'm going to throw the book at you. And apparently Peterson and his group thought that he was okay with quote unquote time served.
Right. Well, that's just, I don't know. And I think I have faith that it'll be worked out. I don't know. Luther, if I'm Goodell, I wouldn't want that burden. Appeal to somebody else.
I wouldn't want it. Exactly.
So we have an awesome guest tonight. A guy that many Eagles fans are thinking about a lot these days. The executive vice president of the NFL, Mr. Troy Vincent. How you doing, Troy?
Good. How you doing?
Troy, what's up, man?
Man, another long day. I just talked to my son back at school, and it looks like now NC State's bowl eligible at least.
Ah.
And I want to go home and get me a haircut.
Well, I got me a haircut today. And I'm glad that they're bowl eligible because my best friend from college is the running backs coach there, so we got a connection going on. So I know you've had a busy day and probably some things you can't talk about that we would like to talk about. But
he's had a busy few months.
he's had a busy few months.
But there is something I know everyone's dying to know in Philadelphia, Troy. Is there any chance you come back and play? Please. I know you got a good gig. I get it. Please.
Under one condition.
Okay.
What's the condition?
If Luther can lose another 150 pounds.
It was not 150 pounds, thank you. And when's the last time you've seen me?
I saw the photo of you that you sent me about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, touche.
You know what's funny, Troy?
Wait, before we glaze over this, Micah, Troy has the guest thinking that I was 400 pounds.
380?
No, wow. It wasn't even close. It was actually getting up there in the 300s, but hey, I'm slender now, by the way. So I guess Troy's not going to be playing corner for the Eagles. So how about this? How about since we can't win that bet, let's get you to play safety at least.
Yeah, you can play safety. They need help everywhere. I know you probably can't.
No, I don't want him to play safety because the last time I remember him playing safety.
They didn't have a good show. Not many teams go to Lambeau and play well. And unfortunately, they hit a red-hot Aaron Rodgers, but they're still right in the thick of things. So,
at 7-3, you're exactly right. Now, Troy, as the high-end corner that you were, what do you do on a day like that? Rodgers was playing pitch and catch. He's throwing it behind his back. What do you do?
One, you have to get back to the sideline, and somebody has to settle you down. You have to go to the coach, the coordinator, and you got to get on the same page. Make a call that allows us to at least make a play. Now, because you're taking all the calculated risk out. You're done. You're down 30 points. You just want to make it respectable. And you just say, hey, you get back to your basic fundamentals. And you just go through your reads. And you're just, frankly, at that particular time, hoping if the offense is not clicking that you get out of there and the point difference is not 50.
Did you feel similarly in 2002 when the Colts came into town?
Well, I tell you what, I felt that way not when the Colts came. We took a real butt whooping. We went down to Jacksonville.
Ooh.
I want to say it was 90. It was the mid, 97.
I
was on the team. You know,
James Stewart scored 5 touchdowns.
He scored 17 touchdowns.
Yeah, I never saw 40-something points go up so fast. Fred Taylor, they were on, and I've been there. I've been on that side of the ball before.
Right, exactly. Now, in your new gig, Troy, obviously you have a lot of responsibilities. What's the toughest part of the job for you so far?
The toughest part, I would say, is working with the officials and, well, one, managing a ton of people, but then working with the officials and making sure all of us are on the same page, that we're clear and consistent with our calls from week in to week out, what we see, how we're communicating that to the, not just the coach, but to the players. Because you're dealing with 119 individuals, some have been long tenure, but how do we become more consistent in our calls, more clear in what we do, and then how are we educating so that the coaches and the players, that's what you want. You want consistency week in and week out.
Do you think the officials are getting a little flag happy this year? We've seen some games where it's every – you can't get excited when you get an incomplete pass on and you're off the field on third down. You can't get excited until you stop and wait and look for a couple minutes. Is any flags coming in? There's a lot of fans that feel like there's just too many. What do you think?
And actually, we're up about two flags from prior years. We're up about two more flags, an average of about 16. We're, you know, typically we're around the 14. Game time is down. But what we've asked the officials to do, they're doing. And the points of emphasis that we've asked them to emphasize, offensive pass interference, hands to the face, unnecessary roughness, those points of emphasis, defensive holding, we want them to call because we have to alter that play. And they've been doing so.
Yeah, they've been doing so. It seems like they've been doing so at such a high rate where you hear announcers. And of course, I always say fans are kind of stupid, but you don't have to agree with me. But it's like you get in a game where you say, why don't you just throw the ball downfield? You're going to get a flag regardless. There's going to be a flag 60% of the time. What really irks me, Troy, and I know a rule is a rule is a rule, is you have third and 25 and you get a defensive illegal touching past 5 yards. On the opposite side of the ball, it's a penalty. A penalty is a penalty. Why is that considered an automatic first
down? That's something that actually we're going to be discussing with the competition committee this year, of maybe changing that. You know, maybe that's a 5 yard, you know, penalty first down, but not a spot foul.
And another thing too, if you could put this on the docket for me, Troy, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay,
I know a lot of the penalties are geared toward player safety,
and Rich McKay gets it.
What's that?
And I said, whatever you want, just write it up on a doc. I'll make sure that the commissioner, Rich McKay, and Jeff Fisher will get it. No, I'm just joking. But no, let me hear it.
I think it's a good idea because a lot of people are frustrated. You can't hit anybody anymore. And some of these rules do affect the overall product. But I get there. A lot of them are aimed at player safety. And you can't really get upset when that's the goal. But in order to increase the excitement, can we loosen the rules on, like, celebrations? Because why not? It makes it fun. Nobody's getting hurt. Use the ball as a prop. Go for it. That's fun.
The only rules we have around celebration is excessive. Or you start using, like, throat slashes. Again, this is still professional football, so we have to have some level of professionalism. You know, the throwing of the ball in the stands, it's not that we don't want the players to do so. You really put a fan at risk. We don't mind you going and handing the ball, but throwing it up, now you have fan and people jumping over. Again, we can just get back to the point, because this is so important, the points of emphasis, and this is what the coaches have asked us to do during last offseason. We had six different areas that we wanted to emphasize, and they're doing so. Unnecessary roughness is down significantly. from years past. That means players are adjusting. That's all we can ask for.
Yep.
You have to. Now, we have to take a break. Troy, can you stick around for a little while longer? You have to run.
No, I can stick around.
All right, awesome. We're talking to Troy Vincent, who's the vice president of football operations for the NFL. We will be right back. This is Cheap Shots.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience. So he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time. Get ready for an unpredictable, fun, and sometimes sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
We're back here on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. We are talking to the Vice President of Football Operations for the NFL, Troy Vincent. Troy, do I have your title right? Because every time I Google it, I feel like I find another title for you. What's your official title?
I don't know what my title is. I mean,
his title is the man.
My son tells me one thing.
Troy has been the man since he was at Wisconsin.
My correct title is Executive Vice President of Football Ops.
Gotcha. Now, has this role, because now you're with the league, has this changed how you have to be a fan or how you can talk about certain things publicly? Does that?
Well, I do watch the game differently.
Okay, how's that?
Well, you know, now I'm looking at, is the game clock running? I'm looking at uniforms. I'm looking at, you know, making sure that the safety protocols are in place. I'm constantly monitoring. Is technology up? So, Mike, me looking at the game itself, guys just playing good, clean, having fun football, that part in my new role is those days are far, far behind me.
Are you typically in New York on Sundays?
Yes. So New York on Sundays, Mondays, and then I travel to the games on Thursday. But again, on Sundays, to give you an example, the 1 o'clock games where you may have up to 11 games, you know, 9 to 11 games at any juncture of the season, you know, just monitor that weather, field conditions, sideline technology, booth technology, the official-to-official technology, the coach-to-player technology. You know, you're looking at, monitoring replay. Is it efficient? Is it the right call? It's pretty fascinating.
Interesting.
It's
really
interesting. And in your role now, obviously, you have a different role. And how do you feel about, and I haven't seen you even remark about this, which is kind of a good thing. It means, you know, whatever. No, brush that dirt off your shoulder. The suspension of Brandon Merriweather earlier in the season, a 2-game suspension, and he's got a history.
Yeah.
And Ryan Clark, you know, he has a habit of speaking out a lot. He mentioned that this suspension isn't on Merriweather. It's basically on Troy Vincent. And he said Roger has full control of certain things and passed the decisions on to Troy, a guy who was up for the executive director job of the NFLPA. And he says, you don't get it. You quickly switch sides. Now this was an opportunity, your first opportunity to wield power, and that's what you did. How do you feel about comments like that, and how do you react, or do you not even react to it?
Well, I've learned not to react. There's nothing to really react to. I hope that Ryan, when he transitions out of the game, that he finds himself with an occupation that he loves. I've been where Ryan was. I served a player 13 of my 15 years as a player, fighting for player rights when players couldn't fight for themselves. So I love that capacity. I love serving that capacity. To inject that it was something personal, why respond? I wish Ryan well. Ryan's a phenomenal football player. What I saw was someone, in Brandon's particular case, and Brandon's done a wonderful job of adjusting. I saw Brandon, you know, here's a guy that was a repeated offender for these vicious hits. You know, there was a cycle and a repetitiveness of unsportsmanlike conduct, the helmet to helmet, that we got to take out of the game. For Brandon, it was for Brandon's good and for the opponent. Again, I was talking about someone who had a track record and who's been warned, who's been fined in this particular area. And to really alter change, you have to make sometimes some significant calls. And my particular role has always been the same since Art Shell was in this position, Ray Anderson. I have the ability to discipline.
Good. Do you feel you're almost like you went from like public defender to the defense attorney now, huh?
Well, I don't know if I'm a defense attorney, but I
watch
you know,
a lot of TV.
I'm the greatest advocate for the player, and I can do more now for the player than I ever could do as a player, as a union rep. I want to see the game. I want to preserve the game. You know, I had an opportunity again, spending 15 years on the field. Locker room, serving the players, and now I have two boys that play ball. So I have an opportunity to affect how football is played, the way you commentate the game and you see the game. But I think we all share in the responsibility of making sure that we take plays out of the game that are not necessary to protect players from unnecessary risk, but then also growing the game at the same time.
Can you see... That brings another question I have for you. A few weeks ago, maybe last week, LeBron James had an article where he said he wouldn't allow his sons to play football. Well, I know both of your sons are playing ball. One's at NC State now. How do you feel about when some athletes, you know, obviously it's they have the right to say or do or raise their kids the way they want to. How do you speak about the safety of the game, the safety of football, and where we're headed
in terms of
parents who are afraid like that?
The game is safer, not softer. Any athlete or anyone that speaks about that's a personal choice. That's a household choice between a father, mother, or whomever is making that decision for the child. And then thirdly, as I've said to my sons on many occasions, great, when a parent makes that decision for their kid not to play, that's one less person that's in your line. That's one less person that you're competing with about a scholarship. So,
Right. Now, here's something I'd like to ask you, because it's something that doesn't make sense to me. I'm an NFL junkie. I love it, and I get that you want to expand the brand and make it as big as possible and everyone make as much money as possible. I get it. That's what business is. I do not, for the life of me, understand how a team could operate in London. What do you do when you have to work out a few players or just bring some guys in because you need a backup linebacker? I mean, how do you guys plan to do this, and why is there such a push? I know it's a new market, and I get that, but logistically, doesn't that seem like the player, Troy, would hate that?
We're exploring it, and the feedback from the players, they've all had a great experience, and I think this is when you have to talk to the player firsthand, which we have. We'll continue to do so. I think the games have gotten a little bit better, a little bit more competitive. The field conditions are getting better. It's something where, again, most teams are traveling the practice squad as well. So they have the players, if anybody goes down, you know, they have their full rosters there to make the adjustments before game time. You know, you got 2 hours before kickoff. So, I mean, it's something that's, we found it to be good. We've seen the interest there grow, the experience from the clubs, from a player, coach standpoint. Again, no one wants to lose and then take the trip back, but we found the player experience, coach experience to be well, and we're seeing that the fans are embracing it as well.
Oh, I understand the games over there occasionally. I think that's a good idea. It mixes it up a little bit. I'm talking about, Rogers talked about putting a franchise in London. When you're permanently there, I mean, what do you do if you play the Raiders? That's a lot of traveling.
That's a far trip.
Yes.
But we're working on it. And again, when the commissioner's speaking of that, I would say, because those are discussions that we have, we're not talking about 2015 or 2016. We're talking about as we grow the game, as the players have a good experience, as the stadiums become more technological advanced, these are things that we should consider. You know, we're now playing over the last couple seasons, three games here. As we expand those number of games, you know, the possibilities should be limitless.
Right, we're talking to NFL Executive Vice President of Operations, Troy Vincent. And Troy, you kind of touched on this before, and I'm curious, when you come from the player side, like kind of like what Ryan said, now do you feel like there's even a slight adversarial relationship toward the players? Like you're on the other side now? Because I've heard some players have popped off about Goodell and said some not so nice things. I wonder if you feel any of that.
Well, I mean, you hope not. And again, that's when you're a player, you're in that zone, that bubble. Because you can say the same thing about a coach coaching at a former player that's coaching. He's still a league official.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And to say that an individual, I'm just working. And I have an opportunity to work, still be part of the game. I just happen to be working for the National Football League. If someone wants to say, man, he went from here, as a player, you can't work for the National Football League. I served my locker rooms in the capacity in which I could. Every offseason, participating in programs, internships. And I'm not going to let someone say, you can't work because of a perception. Are you kidding me? I make an honest living, love doing what I do, get a chance to contribute to the game. I would hope that we've employed many former players. I would hope that a current player never sees that as a negative, that an individual, all of the stories that we hear about players not transitioning well off the field, to see one of your colleagues now working as a coach, now a head coach, now working in the front office, that's good for us. That's good for us in the retired player community. It's good for the player community.
Or doing internet radio.
Or doing internet radio. That's correct.
Hey, this is not all I do, player. This is a hobby.
Now, Troy, looking around the league, I know you're watching things a little different, but you still got the player in you. What corners do you like right now? Who do you look at and you say, dude, this guy could play?
I was watching Revis the other night, and I still like those fundamentally sound guys that can get down there and press when they have to, play off coverage when they have to, I still have an appreciation for the guy that doesn't need a safety over top of him. I still have an appreciation for a guy that can go in the slot, left side, right side, boundary, field. I still have the appreciation for the art.
I like when I
watch Darrell Revis play. He still brings in those things of when I saw with the young Al Harris, Bobby Taylor. He still brings the pureness of the, when they talk about, and we use it so loosely today, the shutdown corner.
Yeah.
He's pure.
We do. We use it too loosely. I don't know how many we have in the game, but he kind of reminds me, not to blow smoke up somebody's butt, he kind of reminds me of Troy.
Stop it.
All of that, and then he tackled like a safety. And at his size was a premium. What, 6'2", right, Troy?
I was 6'1". Bobby was about 6'3".
Bobby was 6'3". We had huge corners. I mean, our slot corner was Al. And he's no small guy. That secondary with Dawkins in the back.
I know.
And then we had different guys playing the strong safety. Practice made me better.
Troy, with the way the rules have changed, and I understand, you know, why you guys are doing it, is the shutdown corner a thing of the past? Can you be a shutdown corner anymore?
Absolutely. Truly. You got to fine tune your craft. You can't go down there and bump and run and make it a foot race. That's what you see. So I do analyze that on the weekends when I'm watching the corners. Yeah. So, you know, you just can't go down there and you're playing, if you call it bump and run, and at the snap of the ball, you start running and chasing. You're down there to bump and run. You got to touch the receiver. You got to get your hands on him. You got to play top shoulder. You can't be looking at the quarterback and then trying to identify where the receiver is. You see the quarterback throw it, you're going to see the receiver catch it. You can still do that, but you got to work your craft. It's a craft. It's an art.
How tough would it have been for you, a physical corner, to adjust to almost not being able to get your hands on a guy?
No, you can, as long as he's in front of you those first 5 yards. Those rules still apply when I played. You got 5 yards to put your hands on him. Once he gets downfield, those same rules hadn't changed when I played.
Yeah, but they enforce them more nowadays, and that's.
No. If you watch the corners, if you cut the tape on, whether you're watching the Carolina Panthers play or anyone else,
well, there are no corners for the Carolina Panthers. So let's pick a team that actually has some corners.
Of these new rules, Troy, would Troy the player like them?
Oh yes,
Troy the player would like them if he was a wideout.
I don't mind. And the reason why, because the official, the rules are the rules. You play within the rules. Some officials going to allow you to, and as a player, this holds true. Doesn't matter what gender, you're going to take it to the edge. They call you back off. They don't call you, you move forward.
Now, I asked you about corners. What wide receivers do you look at in the league and just say, I'm so glad I didn't have to play against him?
No, I played against the best. There's not a receiver in the National Football League from a body's type, size, speed, quickness. You know, we've seen the best, and that's one of the things as the rookies come in from year to year, you actually think that you're going to do something that the National Football League hasn't seen. Well, I played against from the Jerry Rices to the Terrell Owens to the Flipper Andersons to the James Loftons to the Andre Reeds, the Tim Browns, the Michael Irvins, the Chris Carters, the Randy Moss. You tell me, the Marvin Harrisons, who's better? Better?
I don't think there's that many better in this game. With that being said, who do you consider some of the top guys, without being obvious, the ones you're watching right now? Not like based on what they've done their whole career. This season, we had a little...
I like Larry. I'm looking at Larry out in Arizona. Larry's still doing a number too. He's still doing a number on a lot of folks.
Dude, Troy, I when I watch Arizona games and they keep saying, "Well, the offense doesn't go through Larry anymore." I'm watching. I'm going, "Why?
Why?
He's still a baller. He's amazing.
Why would you not go through? Great route runner. He's putting up. I still like what he's doing at this juncture of his career.
I think he's still phenomenal, and I think they need to take the dirt off of his grave because that's a little ridiculous. Now, how about a guy like Antonio Brown? Luther loves Antonio Brown.
I like Antonio. He was going to be my next. I like him. We would call him a little jitterbug, a little firebug. Small, tough, not the best route runner, but because people are playing off of him, they're respecting his speed. I think he's one that you would have to get up and you had to make him play every snap. So people are giving Antonio the opportunity to take downs off. When you get a guy that's that impactful, you have to make him play all 60 to 70 plays a game. You got to even make him play in the run plays. You got to make him block you. You got to put a body in your hands on him every snap. But I love watching him play. Tremendous competitor.
Now, as a person in your position with the NFL, what are you thinking week one when he returns the punt and threw his foot into the chest of the Browns punter? It was highly entertaining to me, but I'm like, you can't do that.
What is he doing? What is he doing? That's what you say. What is he doing?
So are you making a note like call Antonio on Monday?
Yes. No, call Antonio that night. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
That's awesome. That's great. We're talking to Troy Vincent, who is the VP of Executive VP of Operations, although we figured out he doesn't really have a title, so I can't botch it, really.
Well, it's the man. You just got to put the man in front of him. And we're talking about wideouts, Troy. How about this rookie class? You've got usually the rookie wideouts take a while to get adjusted, acclimated. you've got some rookies doing some things. You got Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins, Jordan Matthews, Odell Beckham, John Brown, Landry. You even got the kid from Clemson at the Steelers,
Martavis Bryant,
with 5 or 6 touchdowns. Now, I mean, this is unreal the way the rookie wideouts have come in, and a lot of people, including myself, will say it's because the rules make it easier for wideouts.
No, I just think it was one of those years. This particular class of 2014, the wideouts are the ones that have really excelled. It was a deep class, first of all. And then you're watching what they're doing. They're all playing extremely well. They got on the field early, as expected. Yep. But they're playing well across the board. It was just one of those classes, and year in and year out, you see different classes or a position that kind of excel. This particular year, that wideout position is the position that kind of sticks out.
Yeah, absolutely. Troy, we can't thank you enough for coming on. We had a blast talking to you. You're welcome on Cheap Shots anytime you want. Come on with us anytime. Troy Vincent is the Executive Vice President of the NFL. Troy, thank you so much for coming on. We loved it.
Thank you. Luther, put that donut down. Talk to you tonight. Talk to you later.
Later, Troy.
That's too funny because I was going to tell Troy when I saw Hollis Thomas at training camp, I said something to him about you, and he just looks over. He's like, is he real fat? I texted it to you, and you're like, who the hell asked that question?
Right. What is this?
All right, let's take it to our last break before we hit the last segment. Troy Vincent was awesome. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Cheap Shots.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
This week on The Revolution with Jim and Trav, that's presented by Outdoor Channel.
We're going after elk, and our hunting party will include executive producer of Realtree Outdoors, David Blanton, Auto writer Tim McWelch, Cabela's optics manager, Phil Severinson, and award-winning author, Keith McCafferty.
Did you know that elk threaten each other by curling back their upper lip, grinding their teeth, and hissing softly? That's what Jim does.
And it's presented to you by Outdoor Channel at OutdoorChannel.com.
Friday afternoons at 1 Pacific time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're on Cheap Shots with Luther Broughton and Micah Warren. Get in on the shots by giving us a call now at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or tweet us now at hashtag Cheap Shots. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back here on Cheap Shots, and Troy Vincent was awesome, Luther. He was great.
Yeah, and it was tough not being able to
talk about what everyone's thinking.
One of the things we discussed, and I actually booked him
before all this went down.
Yeah, a couple weeks back to be on the show. And what happens the morning of the show? Adrian Peterson gets suspended for whatever weeks. And I think legally, not technically legally, because we're not in a court, they're not in a court of law, he couldn't speak about it.
There's just stuff he can't talk about. There's, I respect stuff that. I'm not going to press him.
Because it's so fresh, it's really disappointing. He talked a little bit off book, and I won't talk about that, but he just said he couldn't right now.
And right, and we're going to respect that because he's an awesome guest.
He understood that we aren't doing our jobs if we don't ask him.
Right. And now, I did see I did see a report where somebody's trying to point the finger at him for being the one. We've heard for a while now there's an unnamed NFL exec who told Adrian Peterson, this is what Peterson's camp is claiming, that you told me I'd get time served. I have a tough time believing. So a source today came out and said that was Troy who told him that. I have a tough time believing he would say something like that definitively. Why would you in that position say that when it's Goodell's decision? I wouldn't. Right, I question that. I question that. And also, how if he did say it, how did he say it? Did he say it's a possibility? Did he tell you for sure? So I'm kind of curious how this all plays out. Obviously, we started to talk about it, actually, and then Troy came on. I know you're not in a great mood about how the NFL's handling these things. It's just really weird, and I don't understand. And I said this right before Troy came on. Why Goodell would want the responsibility of being the lone bad guy when you could have you have plenty of money.
You should have a panel. It's only fair to have a panel. I'm not saying this because I agree with all the players. I think some of them need to get heavy punishment. But if you're going to be the judge, why are you the guy we appeal to? I don't appeal to you. Come on.
Think about all the
why would you – you don't – punish a kid and then like not tell them what's going on or not bring their parents in. There are other factors, other people involved. You might bring the parents in and find out, oh yeah, his dog died yesterday and he's in a terrible mood and he's a kid. That's why he was being a little dick today in school. I mean, sometimes you need someone else. You need a panel of people. And speaking of panels, we're going to get to the top four of the NCAA here soon before we end the show. Don't think we've forgotten. But I agree with you, Micah. Why would you want to be the
judge, jury, executioner?
Judge, jury, executioner, and everything else. Sorry.
Look at every situation, though, Luther. Whether it's domestic violence, whether it's him hitting his kid. Let's just look at us. You are going to see that differently than I do.
Exactly.
Everybody's going to see it differently. So why wouldn't you get a collection of opinions?
We both saw the Adrian Peterson thing differently. You thought it was like absolutely ridiculous, and I thought it was bad, but I thought he beat his kids too hard. It's not the end of the world, and he really needs counseling, and he needs to understand that that's not right.
I agree.
But that doesn't say you're wrong. That doesn't mean you're wrong because you thought it was worse than what I thought it was. You're not wrong. So what if you're the commissioner? Right. You think he should get 8 games. If I'm the commissioner, I think he should get 2 or 3.
Or time served as was.
Or time served. But what makes – why is that – why do I don't think one man should be able to make the decision and handle the appeals. It's just not right, man. It's not right.
That part for sure. Well, so even if you disagree,
and you know what? I blame the NFLPA for to some extent because they allowed him to keep that ability in the last after the last strike. And I guess he could have held their feet to the fire because the strike was going on so long. They kind of gave up some things to keep certain other things, but that's got to change.
Are you have speakers on, Luther? Can you hear me repeating?
Repeating.
Oh, I just feel like I'm hearing an echo. It happens with we're not the best with technology on this show. I think
no, we aren't. And shut up. Not you. I'm talking about our fans. Just give us a break.
32 teams, 32 owners that are Goodell's boss. They don't want to change in this. That's their player. The owner of the Vikings. That's your player that you don't get all year.
I don't think they care either way. They want to get rid of that salary anyways, and it'll be easier on them as well.
Part of me thinks that could be in play also. The Vikings are like, oh, our hands are in the air.
Exactly. I have a problem with it. I really have a problem with it, and I've griped about it for long enough. And that's just me. But I have a problem with it. I really do, man. I don't get it.
Did you see Terry Bradshaw's comments today? He definitely feels the same way. He was just like, what do they want him to do? Because he didn't show remorse. He's like, what do they want him to do, cry and wail and make a big deal?
That's what I said. Someone else said he didn't care. And I'm like, how do you know that if he's home crying every night about it? You don't know that.
You wouldn't know.
Just because he thought it was the right thing to do. He said that's how he was disciplined coming up, and he didn't end up in jail. And so that doesn't mean he doesn't feel bad about it. Either way, Goodell shouldn't be. What makes Goodell the person who's all
just, well, he put in that. I don't know if you read the statement from the league as to, you know, why these things happened. It included a meeting he didn't attend in New York City,
which apparently was something him and his agent thought wasn't what did he call it? Collectively bargained.
Even if it's not, I would have gone, Luther. This is your future. Well, I would have gone.
Yeah, you would have gone, of course. But we're looking at a guy who just got in trouble for beating his kids too hard. So,
and I don't buy the whole, oh, it's how I was raised, to a degree.
Well,
okay, but how can you not see that you're swatting the hell out of a 4-year-old, the defenseless kid?
And I guess he thought it worked for him when he was young, and he stayed out of trouble, and he's seeing some of the things in society that's going on, and he wants to. I'm being devil's advocate. Don't think that I'm beating the hell out of Cam.
That's fine.
His legs are thick. He thinks that's what he's doing to protect his kids from being out on the street and doing this, that, and the other. Maybe that's what his thought process is. I don't know. Maybe we can get Adrian Peterson on Cheap Shots and he can talk to us about it. I would hope so. But, you know, really, he's appealing. So maybe he'll be back next week. Oh, wait. No, the guy who gave the suspension is doing the appeal. So I take that back. But, yeah, it's tough because I think he needs counseling. I think he's served his suspension. Or maybe they should have given him, docked him a couple games pay since he's already been out technically. But I don't agree, man. I really don't agree. But, you know,
They need to work something out that's a little bit more. It's kind of like my ex-girlfriend in college used to talk about the difference between her dad and her mom's house. Yes, Cindy, right? She would say, you know, she's like, if I stayed out past curfew with my mom, I didn't know. She could have been totally cool with it. She might have flipped out. With my dad, there was rules. If you stayed out, this is what's going to happen. There is no discussion. I think the players need a little bit more of that. If I do this, this is the punishment. It's like you said, now everything's so arbitrary. It's 6 games. And I might make it 4 if you fill out these papers.
Right. If you come here and you play with my penis, then we'll
stop. Be okay.
Like,
at least use the anatomically correct term, I guess.
I mean, whatever. Let's move on.
Can we talk about this blowout?
No. About what?
Or do we have to talk about college?
What did you want to talk about?
The blowout, the Eagles game.
No, this is a great segue. This is one of these games that coaches sometimes give their players the weekend off. We won't watch this film. We'll come back next week and we'll prepare for Tennessee.
Thrashed. Has that ever happened when you were playing? There were a coach said we're not watching that game tape.
Coach said we got our ass whipped. We're coming in here on Wednesday, and we're getting ready for Tennessee. We got whipped. And we got beat all over the field. Sometimes, what are you going to do? Keep watching Rodgers throw touchdowns? You got beat. And individually, you're going to watch tape. You're probably going to watch with your position coach. But sometimes you need a break from that, especially when you get your butt whipped. But let's talk about the Panthers. After stinking it up for 3 quarters, they caught fire in the fourth quarter. Scored 2 touchdowns to take the lead. Atlanta came back and took the lead. The Panthers got the ball. They're driving, and they're down 1 or 2 points. They get to the 30-something yard line after easily driving it down the field, and then they decide to beat themselves. They put the brakes on, and they stopped playing, and they played for a 40-something yard field goal. They played for a 40-something yard field goal. It's not like they were down at the 2 and they were running the clock out. They played for a 40-something yard field goal, and they left, and they would have left Atlanta with well over a minute to go with 3 timeouts to go to beat them with just a field goal. They would have only needed a field goal to beat them. ridiculous. And then you cut Jason Avant today because he talked succinctly about what happened. He didn't place blame. He was pretty succinct about it, and they release him. Horse crap. If you're telling me you released him for other reasons, don't piss on my leg. Tell me it's raining. If I see your penis pointing at me pissing,
jeez,
it's not raining.
Okay. I thought it was a little ridiculous, Luther, considering it's not like they have a huge stable of excellent wide receivers where they can.
Right.
I don't think Jason Avant is a difference maker, but
no, he's not. And
he's a nice guy to throw to once in a while.
He got released or whatever because he wasn't being used. But don't give me that crap reason. And before we go, we got about 2 minutes left. Mm. Let's talk quickly about the college football rankings. Alabama beat number one Mississippi State. Alabama is now number one. Florida State, still undefeated, is number three. Oregon is number two. And Mississippi State rounds out the top ten at the top four at number four after taking one loss. And somehow that Baylor team that beat TCU head to head is now number seven behind TCU and Ohio State.
Well, they have some strength of schedule garbage, right?
Okay.
Isn't that what they factor? I'm asking. I don't watch college football other than to flip through it on Saturday.
You got a committee in there talking about who deserves to be in the top four. Two teams are in the same conference, and they one team beat the other team, and they have the exact same record.
I think
they both have one loss, and you're telling me that the other team should.
I agree with you, but maybe the panel is McNabb and Goodell.
Oh,
and
McNabb and his rankings. I hadn't checked this week. It appears they took that away from him.
No, they didn't, Luther. I was going to tell you this. He's doing them now past Tuesday, so we can't use them for our show. I saw last week's, but they don't take into consideration this weekend's game, so it's not really.
Oh man, I want to see. All right, well,
it's like somebody stole Christmas for us.
About last week's Donovan's rankings. Next week we'll talk about it.
It's tough though because the stuff he says isn't as relevant because he's, you know, he has the Packers down at 11. I hope he doesn't have them there this week.
Well, but we still can talk about how that team performed the week before and talk about McNabb's rankings. I love McNabb's rankings. It's like he doesn't watch the games or something.
For what it's worth, these were not as comical. This past week's were not as comical.
Is Dallas still like 15?
No, I have to go back and look. They weren't toward the top, but I have to question that. I still got to have Dallas pretty high. You had them as the best team in the league a few weeks ago. Do you still think that?
No.
I don't think Romo's going to stay.
I think Arizona's the best team in the league. I don't care who's playing quarterback. They're beating everyone. So I don't have any problem saying they're the best team in the league and believing they're the best team.
Okay, so throughout this week, everyone can hold Luther accountable for that. But we got to run, Luther. We're out of time. We would have had more time if we didn't have so many Skype problems that sent us into the first 5 minutes of the show. But we did have we had a great guest. We had Troy Vincent. He was awesome. He told us tons of stuff.
And we really couldn't get to what we wanted to with him, but he at least he was honest with us from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So exactly. And I wasn't going to disrespect that.
So thank you to Troy Vincent. We're out of time for this week, but we will be back next week, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern time.
And I might get suspended because I said penis twice.
That's three times. You are getting suspended. I'm calling Ray. So everyone, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week. This is Cheap Shots.
Thanks for being part of the show. Luther and Micah will be here for another edition of Cheap Shots next week. Remember to catch us live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. in the West and 7 p.m. in the East on the Voice America Sports Channel. Let's talk again soon.